Ephesians chapter 6, we start the third section from the Apostle Paul as he's addressing the topic of relationships. We've looked at relationships, husbands to wives, wives to husbands, and now we're looking at children to parents. And, you know, as we look at this, it's a reminder to all of us. If you're here today, and if you have parents, then this scripture is for you. Anybody here have a mother or father? Yeah, may not be living, but you were created. To me, it's a reminder. I know that you all have moms and dads. I hope you understand it. I hope you understand that when we think about honoring our parents, that it goes even beyond our earthly earthly moms and dads, and it goes to our heavenly Father. We are the children of God. We are his sons and his daughters. And if he's calling us to honor our earthly parents, how much more should we be honoring our heavenly Father in everything that we do? And certainly if you're have walked with the Lord any length of time, you know God wants your relationship to him to be the strongest, to be the most intimate and the most intentional. Because when that relationship is in order, guess what? Our other relationships work out easier, a little more easily. There's still problems, there's still issues, but this relationship is what helps the other relationships. Too many times I think people look at other relationships to try to create this relationship with God. No, it's a personal and intimate relationship with the Lord that you can have with God no matter where. At church, in your car, at your workplace, at Starbucks, at the library, wherever you are, you can spend time with the Lord. And that's an amazing thing. So as children, we need to be looking to God as our Father and honor him. And we've been saying this as we've talked about wives and husbands. It's so easy to honor the Lord, to submit to the Lord, to love the Lord. But then when he tells us to do those things to our earthly relationships, then that's a little more struggle. Oh, Lord, I have to love my wife. Oh, I have to submit to my husband. I have to honor my parents. God, do you know my parents? See, God knows. And in all of these things, we cannot do them in our own strength. We need the power of the Holy Spirit, because sometimes we don't want to love our wives. Sometimes we don't want to submit to our husbands, and sometimes we don't want to honor our parents because of performance, because of imperfections in people's lives. But we do it anyway. Why? Because it glorifies God, right? And if at least in anything, we should honor our father and mother because God wants us to. If God wants you to do it, is that enough for you? See, he doesn't give us reasons. Although in this one for children, there's a promise that's hidden in here, that if you honor your father and mother, there's a promise that God gives to us. And so it's an amazing thing to be obedient. Obedience to parents paves the way, in my opinion, of us really having a good relationship with God. If you can honor your father and mother here on earth, it'll be so much easier for you to honor your heavenly Father, because he loves you and it wants the best for you. So let's look at verse 1, and we'll read all four verses because this is what we're going to look at this morning. It says, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with you and you may live long on earth. And you, fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up in the training and admonition of the Lord." So these are the verses that we want to look at. Again, verse 1, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord." Paul, as he comes now to this child and parent relationship, he says, listen, honor your parents in the Lord. The Lord is our ultimate authority. The God is the one we take all of our instructions from, direction from, and parents should be giving their kids and training their kids in the ways of the Lord. So we obey them as they lead us in the ways of God. And God doesn't want us to obey them if they're leading us in a way that dishonors or disobeys God. So that's why he adds there, in the Lord. Honor your fathers and mothers in the Lord. for God's purposes and for God's sake. See, children here are to obey parents. And wouldn't it be nice if it just came naturally? For some reason, and I stand here before you, before God, and I don't know why, but me as a child, if my mom said, don't, I didn't. If they said, do this, I did it. It made sense to me, right? Don't do that. Okay, I stopped doing that. I go clean your room. I would go clean my room. My brother, 2.5 years younger than me, exact opposite. Mom said, do this. Why? Mom said, don't do that. No, how come? It was always a challenge. And I literally had a conversation with my brother. I wasn't a believer. I was just a little mutt kid. I would tell him, I'm like, why don't you do what mom and dad tell you? It's frustrating to watch you have this argument with them and end up in being beat, basically is what it was. There was this one time, I don't know why I'm telling this story, but it's just always on my mind. There was one time my brother and I, we were the ones that did dishes. I don't even know if there were dishwashers back then. My brother and I were dishwashers. I washed, he dried. You know what happens to a towel when you dry? It gets wet. Make a nice little whip, right? Yeah. Well, my brother was drying this time, and he would snap it, and we'd be whipping it. And he would do it towards my mother. Yeah, I know. I did this, I was like, are you crazy? And at first, my mom was like, yeah, that's cute. But then he'd get close and get her. And she'd be like, stop that. And for my brother, that means I challenge you. I dare you. And he would just keep doing it. And I'm washing the dishes. I'm like, what is wrong with you? You are going to be in so much trouble. And he did it one more time. And my mom had it. And she says, if you do that one more time, I'm going to, and she was looking around the kitchen, and at that time, our dinner, there was deviled eggs. You know what deviled eggs are? She goes, if you do that one more time, I'm going to stick one of these deviled eggs up your nose. My brother hated deviled eggs. And so I'm washing the dishes, and I'm just sitting there in my mind, I'm going, he's going to do it. I know he's going to do it. I just know it everywhere. And sure enough, it happened. And she grabbed one of those eggs, and she chased him around that house and shoved that deviled egg up his nose. She's like, I had to do it. I mean, otherwise he would have never. And it was just, that was my brother. And he didn't do it out of blatant disobedience. He just didn't want to do the things they told him to do. And he wanted to do what he wanted to do. And it was just in his character. And, you know, he came to know the Lord later in his life, and he ended up being a good kid and a good man of God, and he loved his parents. But it's like God made us in two different ways. For some of us in this room, it's easy to honor our fathers and mothers. Others in this room, you're like, you don't know my mom and dad. And I get that. I've had friends that I've grown up with when I used to live in New York. Those parents were terrible to them. And to have to probably hear this verse must be so hard for someone whose parents did not treat them well or did not care for them. That can be difficult. But nonetheless, I say this even when I talk about, you know, wives submitting to husbands, you submit to them because you honor the position, not the performance. It's the same thing with children to their parents. You honor the position. God put your parents in your life. And those of you in here that have your parents sitting here with you right now, you're probably squirming in your seats. You honor your parents. Are they perfect? No. Never. Yeah, I know my nephews are back there, so they better be careful. No, they're not perfect. Kids don't come, child isn't born and then there's a manual attached to their butt that says, okay, this is what you do first. No, you figure it out as you go. It's on the job training, right? And you try to get help from other people. So many opinions in the world of how you're supposed to raise your kids. What's the greatest manual? The Bible. What does God say? You know, and he's going to, again, he addresses the fathers, he addresses the parents. It's like, this is how you're to train up your children. Teach them the ways of God. And to do that and honor the Lord. I remember one time many years ago, I was living here in Tennessee. I was a pastor. I was at Michael's Arts and Craft down in Cool Springs, and I was standing in line behind a woman and her young daughter. And she was on the phone. And she said, well, let me ask. She said, Sally, would you like to have lunch with Billy? And then Sally was like, no. Oh, no, Sally doesn't want to have. And it was so blatantly obvious that the child ran the house, not the parent. My mom and dad, when I grew up, no one ever said, what would you like for dinner? It was like, guess what's for dinner? This is what you're getting, right? And it's like, parents today want to be best friends. And I understand the relationship between parents and kids should be one of love. And but you're the parent. You're the authority. You tell. Because what happens is, if that child grows up saying, I call the shots, guess what happens to their relationship to God if they come to the Lord? They're going to tell God what to do. God's going to tell them what to do, and they're going to argue with it. So it's an opportunity for us to teach them the love of God and the love of the relationship, but also the authority, right? So you do it in a loving way. You do it in a way that honors the Lord. But children, you know, it says, children, obey your parents. It doesn't say parents, obey your children, right? You want to nurture that relationship. You want to guide them and direct them in the way they should go to benefit them. Proverbs 22:6 says, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. That's not to tell your child what they're going to do. You know, I wrote this down. Nurture their natural giftings and talents instead of forcing them into something they have no interest in. That can be tough when the parent wants something for their child, but the child doesn't want it. So nurture the gifts, nurture the talents. If you, and then the other option is, or let them live the way they want. And guess what? That's how they're going to be their entire lives. They're going to live the way they want. Nobody's going to tell them what to do. Are we not living in days like that today? You can't tell anybody what to do. They're going to tell you, what business is it of yours? So honor the Lord by honoring your parents. Again, I don't have kids, and I'm not teaching from experience. I've only had dogs as kids, and they're easier than kids because they don't want the car. You know, they just, all they want to do is eat. But I had three nephews. And the fact that my brother-in-law and sister-in-law allowed us to watch their three kids when they were young was an act of faith. Trust me. I didn't know what I was doing. I remember the first time I had them, I'm like, what do I do with these kids? Chuck E. Cheese. That's what I do with them. Pick them up from the airport, go right to Chuck E. Cheese for as many hours until my wife got home. It's like, just keep giving them money to play the games. You know, it's like, go have fun, kids. That one of them literally would take the coin, go to the machine, drop it in, turn around, and come back and get another coin. I'm like, how did you finish playing the game already? I'm not playing. I'm just putting coins in all these machines. I'm like, take this coin, go spend some time. Right? So you learn. You learn as you go. You learn as you go. Anyway, train up a child in the way she should go. And when they do get older, they won't depart. They'll remember. Train up the way they should honor God. Train up the way they should know and have a relationship with God. Children cannot have a relationship with God through you. They have to have their own relationship. And so teach them that. Teach them those ways. Paul says here, and he gives four reasons why children should obey. I'm going to give them to you. Number one, it's right. Number two, it's scriptural. Number three, it's in their best interest. And number four, it's life-enhancing. It's life-enhancing. Look at it in verse 1 again. It says, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. It's right. That's how it should be. That's the way God designed it. Parents have been given the responsibility to train up their children. So it's the right thing to be obedient to your parents. Because parents have more life experience, right? I can't remember what it was. It was just this week, you know, I was talking with somebody, and you try to teach someone younger than you how to get around some pitfalls in life that you've experienced. But for some reason, they don't ever listen. I didn't listen. What do you old people know, right? You don't have any clue. We've lived it. We've experienced it. And so it's right because they've had the experience. They've made the mistakes. We all want to help our kids not go through those and make those same mistakes. But what has to happen? Sometimes you have to touch the wet paint to realize the sign was right. Don't touch, it's wet, right? Don't put your finger in the oven or in the stove or in the flame. You know, all of those things that we teach our kids. When I first bought my first car, my parents helped me in that whole process. I had never bought a car before. So they helped me get a loan. They helped me, you know, purchase the car, title it, get insurance, all of those things they taught me. So you learn those things, you glean from them. Paul said in Colossians, he said this. He says, children, obey your parents in all things, for this is what is well-pleasing to the Lord. So we're honoring God. So you're here today. We're all kids. We're all children. We all have parents. We honor our parents because it's well-pleasing to God. And if you truly want to please God, you'll honor your parents. Again, honor the position. Honor the position. Some of you in this room are smarter than your parents now, but you still honor the position. It's not about intelligence. It's not about, okay, I honor them until I'm smarter than them. No. We honor them always as parents. I love my father. He's a wonderful man, and we talk each week. But he just taught me to be a faithful husband. Taught me to, he had one job his entire life. Who has that? Who does that anymore? And so he showed me these things in his life, and I can look to him for those things. I came to the Lord first, you know? So I was able to lead my father, help my father in coming to the Lord. So it's an amazing dichotomy. I still honor him as my father, though. So we honor that thing, and because it's right, as Paul says here. Number two, it's scriptural. He goes on in verse 2, and he quotes, honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise. This is the fifth commandment that God gave to Moses. Honor your father and mother, okay? And so it's scriptural. It's something that we should do. Exodus 20, verse 12. I'll put it up there. It's the actual whole verse of the commandment. Honor your father and your mother, that your days may be long upon the land which the Lord your God is giving you. So when we honor our parents, God honors our life. It's interesting. The things that God does to take care of us. It's a tough job that parents have in the world that we're living in. To train up their kids in the ways of the Lord. You know, whenever I see well-behaved kids, you know, like you three up here, well-behaved kids, how are they so well-behaved? What did you guys do? Whenever I see well-behaved kids, whenever I ask the parents, you know, what did you do? What was it that, because I know there's some parents that their kids, they have great relationships with their kids. The kids love to hang out, and when you have dinner with them, they all like to conversate and talk. You know, they're not on their phones, and it's like, what is it? What did you do? And they, almost every single time I've asked, it's by the grace of God. It's by the grace of God. Why? Because we're not perfect. Parents aren't perfect. So if you have a good child, it's like God's grace, right? You know, my nephews are okay. So I'm going to have them come up and share a little bit. No, I'm just kidding. No, I don't want that. No, we don't want that. But it's always God's grace. And as parents and as children, I think it's something we should be praying for, God's grace in our life. God, give me the grace to train up these kids. God, give me the grace to honor my father and my mother. because there's other emotions there. There's other feelings there that we don't want to necessarily honor them maybe at certain times, but we know it's the right thing to do, and it's scriptural. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment, with a promise. Here's the promise: that it may be well with you and you may live long on earth, which is an interesting thought. At my point in my life, I'm like, I don't want to live long on the earth. But maybe your legacy will continue. So this third one, it's in your best interest to honor your father and mother, because God honors that. God honors that choice, that decision to honor your parents. I didn't tell you, but I did want us to turn to Deuteronomy chapter 21. We're going to turn to a couple places. I want us to see this. Especially the kids need to read these verses. So I'm helping you out, parents. Deuteronomy chapter 21. We're going to pick up in verse 18. And I want everybody to understand, I'm not reading this verse because this is how I think you should treat your kids. But I want you to see the seriousness that God has towards disobedient children. It says in verse 18, if a man has a stubborn and rebellious son, why are we laughing already? That's terrible. Who will not obey the voice of his father or the voice of his mother, and who, when they have chastened him, will not heed them. Anybody identify with any of this verse already? It's like, I have a child like that. Then his father and his mother shall take hold of him and bring him out to the elders of his city, to the gate of the city. And they shall say to the elders of his city, this son of ours is stubborn and rebellious. He will not obey our voice. He is a glutton and a drunkard. Terrible child. Then all the men of his city shall stone him to death with stones. So you shall put away the evil from among you, and all Israel shall hear and fear. Harsh, right? Is God serious about obedience? Is God serious about honoring? Is God serious about following instruction? Yes. Now, we don't be taking people out back of the church and stone them. But at the same time, God's serious about it. Notice he says at the end of, what is it, end of verse 21, so you shall put away the evil from among you. God is trying to eradicate evil. And when we look at our world today, there's a lot of allowing people just to do what they want and not following the instructions of God. And so when we think about, it's in our best interest, number one, you'll stay alive. But number two, it honors the Lord in all that we do. And I think that's so important that we realize, God, we got to be obedient. Your parents may tell you to do something that you don't agree with. But you should do it anyway. And if they're wrong, because guess what? Sometimes they're wrong. They can say sorry. I think that's the important thing. When we're wrong, we come back and say, okay, I shouldn't have done that, or shouldn't have said that, shouldn't have done that, shouldn't have allowed you not to do that, those types of things. But when it comes to the ways of God, we cannot sugarcoat those. But to understand the seriousness of God eradicating that behavior in the world, and we're allowing that behavior in the world today. So these are tough things, but so important. So important that we listen to them and obey them. And then number four, it's life enriching. And let's go back. Life enriching, I think that's in verse 3. Yeah, that it may be well with you and you may live long on the earth. So your life will go on. It speaks of eternal life. It speaks of a life of fruitfulness. And whenever I think about this, you know, long life, it doesn't mean necessarily you're going to live to 100. But it means that your life is going to continue to speak. And that, to me, one of the greatest Examples of this is, if you remember Jim Elliot, right? He was a missionary, one of the most well-known missionaries for the last 60 or 70 years. And he went to minister to, I don't think I wrote it down, he went to minister to this tribe, and they actually murdered him. He was 23 years old. Until this day, his life speaks of a heart for a people, even though they murdered him. And his wife continued to minister to that tribe after they murdered her husband and led many to the Lord. So his life continues to speak. His legacy continues to show the love of God. And I want to put up a quote that he put in his journal before he passed. It said, "God, I pray thee, light these idle sticks of my life, and may I burn for thee. Consume my life, my God, for it is thine. I seek not a long life, but a full one, like you, Lord Jesus." Wow. We know Jesus lived to about 30, 33 years old. He was very young by many standards. And Jim Elliot's heart was that, "Lord, let my life be effective." And that's what I underlined in there, but a full life. And in 23 years, he lived a full life, and he spoke into the life of that tribe, and many are Christians to this day. We have opportunities, guys, if we obey and honor our parents, that our lives will be fruitful, right? Hopefully your parents are listening to the Lord. Hopefully your parents are passing on the things of God to you, and when those things come down to you as an inheritance, you pass them on to others. So it's a beautiful thing. And that's what I call about life enriching. It says you're going to live a life that is amazingly filled with God's presence. Wow. What a beautiful picture that would be if we would all say, "Lord, use my life. Use my life. Forget what's happened in your past. Forget maybe whatever you didn't do. You have so much life left. And I would submit not much of it left in the days that we're living. But let your life be used by God." Maybe your prayer is like Jim Elliot, "Lord, use me, that my life would be full and that I would pass that on to my kids." You know, I think about grandparents. You know, grandpas love to tell stories, don't they? Over and over and over again. But they love to share their life experiences. And a grandfather that's lived a long time and has a long and legacy of walking with the Lord, man, what you see amazing peace over them. That's one thing I see over like Billy Graham and Chuck Smith. They just towards the ends of their lives, they were at a total peace with the Lord. And what a beautiful thing that is. I believe God honored this verse for them. So he speaks to children, and then in verse 4, and then we're going to partake of communion here. It says, "And you fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up in the training and admonition of the Lord." You know, there's a reminder here to parents and to fathers specifically, certainly, to train up their children in the right way. Don't discipline your kids out of anger. Does God treat us that way? No. God doesn't discipline us out of anger. He disciplines us out of what? Love. So when he says here, "And you fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath." In other words, don't show your anger, because guess what? Anger produces anger. You know, you get angry at someone and they're going to get angry back at you. But if you lovingly correct, if you lovingly nurture and discipline, guess what? They sense that love and they feel that love. And that's what really speaks into the life. And so what we're talking about here is make sure you're not provoking them to anger. No, God treats us with grace and love, and he corrects us, and he should, because he's our Father. And that we're to do the same thing. I'm just going to read it, but it's in Proverbs. Where is it? Proverbs chapter 15, if you want to write it down. It's the first 5 verses. Listen to these, and this whole chapter is filled with this, if you ever want to read it. It's amazing. It says, "A soft answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. The tongue of the wise uses knowledge rightly, but the mouth of fools pours forth foolishness. The eyes of the Lord are in every place, keeping watch on the evil and the good. A wholesome tongue is a tree of life, but perverseness in it breaks the spirit. A fool despises his father's instruction, but he who receives correction is prudent. It's interesting. And again, this whole psalm is filled with these ways that God sees and the way the right discipline is to be taken care of. And so what we want to see here is when we train up our children, when we correct our kids, they do it in a loving way. Do it the way the Lord does it. Honor the Lord in everything. Some of the greatest parents in disciplining their kids, the way they do it best is they sit down and they talk to them. That's first. Yeah, maybe there's a spanking, maybe there's, you know, something's taken away from someone, whatever. But there's first, we're going to sit down and we're going to explain why this is going to happen. And teaches them, not just because I say so. I grew up in a house because I say so. There was no additional. And honestly, I was like, okay, you say so, I'm good with that. I was fine with that. Clearly my brother was not. But it would have been nice to know why they did things and why it happened, because that's educational. And so for fathers, he's saying, listen, be careful the way you do this, because, where is it? I wrote it down here. Too many notes now. It was so good too. Where is it? There we go. Thank you, Lord. Okay. You correct your children when they are acting wrong, but you cannot act wrong when you are correcting your children. I thought that was so powerful. Again, I'm going to say it. You correct your children when they're acting wrong, but you cannot act wrong when you are correcting your children. Because it doesn't teach them. It builds, you know, that division between a parent and a child. But if someone embraces, I love you, I care for you, this is why we're going to do this, I think that's so, so helpful. And I think it's something that honors the Lord in that. The words to provoke to wrath mean this, to lead them into anger. See, we don't want that. We don't want people not doing it. We don't want our kids not doing something because they're going to get a spanking. We want kids to not do it because they know it's not the right thing to do. I think that's much more wisdom. Joshua, I want to share this verse and then we're going to partake of communion. Joshua 24:15, great verse here. It says, and if it seems evil to you to serve the Lord, choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers serve that were on the other side of the river, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. I think it's so important that when we instruct our children or correct our children, that they know that it's because we're serving the Lord. We're doing it because we're Christian. We're doing it because we're his kids. And that's the right thing to do. So, we will listen to the Lord. We will obey the Lord. We will obey our parents. We will submit to our husbands. We will love our wives. This is what we will do. And as for this house, we will serve the Lord. When I read these verses personally, because again, I'm not a parent, but I'm leading a flock. And so I take it very serious to train up my children, spiritual children, in the ways of the Lord. To teach you how to love God, to teach you how to serve God, to teach you how to be used by God, and to have faith in God. Because he can do anything. And when I say that to myself as well, that I need to be reminded that God can do anything. God has done amazing things in my life. I'm sure he's done amazing things in your life. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And people in this church, we're here to serve the Lord. God has placed you here for a reason and a purpose. Are you being used by God? I challenge you this week to let God use you. Let God be everything for you. And to listen to his voice and let your life make a difference. So we're going to close in prayer. The gentlemen are going to get the elements prepared. The worship team's going to come forward, and we're going to partake in communion. Let us pray. Father, we thank you today for the power of your word. And Lord, even though we've only looked at four verses in our text, they're powerful verses. Verses that speak to us of our Heavenly Father, that we would obey you, Lord, in all that we do. Even when it may not seem right, even when it may hurt, even when it may cause us to suffer loss, what's most important is obedience to you, because you know best. That's where our earthly parents fall woefully short. They don't always know best, unless they're following you, for sure. But Lord, you know exactly what's best for us. You know exactly what we need in our lives, and you know exactly what we need to get rid of in our lives. And so we would do ourselves well to listen to your voice and be obedient, just like your son Jesus was obedient to the point of death. Death of the cross. May we, as followers of Christ, be imitators of Christ. As he walked perfectly, may we walk upright, holy, pure. Forgive us, God, this day of our sin. As we come to this time of communion, we're reminded of those words. It is finished. The death upon the cross that Jesus paid for all the sin of the world. Even our sin today, our sin from yesterday, and our sin that will be here tomorrow, Lord, his sacrifice was enough. And so that's why we remember, because you tell us, do this in remembrance of me. And so as we remember, may we not be sorrowful. May we rejoice in the fact that it was enough. Your death, your resurrection was enough for us. There's no sin we can commit that your blood has not covered. So may we rejoice in that fact. And as we look to you, God, speak into our hearts. As we hold these elements in our hands, may we realize that you willingly went to that cross for us. So bless this time of communion, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen.